I read that Down Under was actually written. You and Ron wrote that a year before you recorded the album. That was one of the was that one of their early, first songs or early songs you wrote for the band?
Yeah, well, we didn't really write it for the band. We just wrote it. We just wrote the song
Right.
as you do, you know. And we wrote it a year before the band formed. So, you know, we would play the song as an acoustic duo before Men at Work existed. So, indeed, a lot of the songs that we wrote, or you know, when the band formed, we transposed them to a band format, and they worked very well, you know.
Now, Down Under has become such a worldwide classic, and for a lot of people, including me, it's when I think of you know, any song about Australia, I think of Down Under. And when you and Ron wrote that song, or even as it was becoming a hit, did you think that the song would have such a lasting impact and kind of be like one of the theme songs of Australia?
Well, we didn't really want it to be a theme song either. I mean, it's quite a dark song, actually, but people don't really, you know, pick up on that, which is not really my job to point that out
okay.
to people. You know,
okay.
but
okay.
it's not a particularly you know, it's not a song about waving a flag. You know, it's a song about really the plundering of the fear and trepidation of the of unscrupulous men plundering the natural wealth of a country for short-term gains. That's really, you know, what the song is about. But of course, people don't really not very many people pick up on that.
Well,
but we loved the song. We thought the song was very strong and powerful, and I think that people recognize that it is, but sometimes the nuance of it is lost in a lot of people.
Okay. Well, is that maybe an analogy would be a Bruce Springsteen song Born in the USA, where a lot of people, I guess, they think that's a positive song when actually there's a lot of darkness to what he's writing about on that song.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, that's usually the way of it. You know, that happens a lot, you know, where your songs get misunderstood for all kinds of reasons, but that's okay. It's just that it happens.
Okay. Moving on to Who Can It Be Now? I mean, that was the one that really broke you, at least in the U.S. Can you tell me about
it was actually the, you know, more than the U.S. I mean, the U.S. was really the last
right.
The last country to pick up on the band. You know, it was a big song in many countries before it hit the U.S.
Can you please tell me about how you wrote that? Who Can It Be Now?
Yeah, I wrote it in the bush of southern New South Wales. My girlfriend at the time and I had some land there in the middle of the bush, a place called Bermagui.
Okay.
And we had a little tree house. We were hippies, you know. And, and in 1978 or 79 or something.
Uh-huh.
Sure. And I just wrote the song sitting there and outside outside the little treehouse. And my girlfriend at the time, Linda, she said that will be the first hit you have. And she was correct.
Was that before Men at Work got together?
It was around that time. It was around.
Okay.
Yes, it was around. It was around at the start of the band. Yeah, probably the same year. I would think maybe 79, something like that. But it might have been a little bit before.
That, you know, that has such a great saxophone solo part or hook in the song. Was that something that you had envisioned from the beginning, or was that one something that Greg had kind of suggested would be a nice addition to the song?
No, well, it was really the line was there, the melody was always there, but
right.
You know, Gregory was had a great tone, and it played that line in the song. But
right.
when Peter McKeon started to work on the songs with us, he was the one that suggested, you know, moving the the saxophone hook up to the front of the song, which gave it its identifiable hook, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Indeed, there's a great saxophone solo in the song, and that was the rehearsal take.
Right.
And Peter said to Greg, "Just play whatever, and we'll just get a sound. We'll just get a sound on the saxophone." And so Greg just played that solo, and he just said thank you, and we just kept that. So he played that solo once and once only.
Okay, well, it certainly was a good take there.
It was fantastic. It was just great. It was perfect.